fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's exciting to be with you today. Are you as excited as we are?
Of course.
How can you tell if you're excited?
You feel good.
It feels good. Yeah.
You giggle.
Good.
You laugh.
Giggling.
You are in a good mood. You're thinking about the positive aspects. You're feeling free to be who you really are. You feel like you can say anything you want to say, that you can't make any mistakes, that if you tripped and falled and everyone laughed at you, you would laugh right along with them, that things are just going your way. And why do you feel excited? What makes you feel excited?
Talking to you.
Why does that make you feel excited? Why would talking to us make you feel excited?
Because when we're talking to you, we're more in alignment.
Why would you be more in alignment when you're talking to infinite intelligence?
This is interesting and fun. And
right, because it's interesting and fun.
Yeah.
And you can, when you're interested in something, when you're doing something that is a passion or an interest, and you're with people doing the same thing that you're interested in, it's fun. It feels good. You know you're alive. You know that you're on the right path. It just feels right, doesn't it?
Yes.
And how about when you're making budgets?
No.
Kind of fun, too.
Sometimes that should be fun, right?
Only but Kate would think so.
If that's your thing, then that's fun and exciting, right?
Thank you.
We sort of know what Steve thinks about budgets for websites.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you always do the things you're interested in and sometimes do the things that you have to do?
Getting more so.
Sure, if you want. But do you have to do the things you have to do instead of doing the things you want to do?
No.
No. And in fact, when you switch your life around so that you're doing the things you want to do more of the time, then the things that you think you should be doing sort of take care of themselves.
Yes.
Why is that? Doesn't that seem strange? Why would that happen? If you're focused on what you enjoy, what makes you feel good, what keeps you excited, what you like to do, what you're having fun doing, what you're interested in, what you're passionate about, that is called bliss. Time has no meaning or less meaning. Physical reality sort of blurs itself. You're not really hungry like you normally are. You're not really thinking of the future like you normally do. You're not worrying about what happened in the past like sometimes you do. You're just interested in what you're doing. And then all of the things that you thought you had to be doing somehow get done. Now, we will say that to the extent that you can allow it, those things will get done. To the extent that you worry about it, then you'll have to interject yourself. But there is a way to live life where you can do primarily what you want to do and let the other things you think you should be doing go and let other people who are more interested in doing those things do them and realize that you personally don't have to do a lot of things that you don't want to do. There's other people to do those things for you. There's the universe to take care of things for you. It'll magically happen. Even if you don't believe us, that's how it works. And why does it work? Because that's how the system was set up. That's how the system was designed. This system was not designed for you to come here and do laundry. The system was designed for you to come here and explore reality focused in a way that gives you excitement, right? That makes you feel alive, that makes you feel like you're doing something fun, productive, interesting. Doesn't it seem like that's the natural course of how physical reality should go? If you were going to design a system, wouldn't that be the way that you designed it? Or would you design a system where every 2 weeks a year you get to go on vacation, the rest of the time you have to struggle and work and do stuff you don't like to do until those 2 weeks come along? That doesn't seem to make sense, does it? Even average people who aren't interested in the laws of the universe can see that that system doesn't seem to make sense.
No.
When you were a child, what did you do more? Play with your friends or clean your room?
Play.
Well, some of you like to clean your room, and that's fine too. But generally, you like to go out there and play. And then at some point, your mother would call you and say, you have to wash the dishes. Or eat with the family, or whatever it was. But naturally, you did the things that you wanted to do. You did the things that were fun, and you did the things that made you, that caused you to feel excitement. So we're saying, pay attention to this idea of excitement. Pay attention to what is interesting in the moment. And don't worry too much about the stuff that you think you have to do. It's less important than you think. It does not define you. Do what you want to do. So, what do you want to do? Wendy, what did you want to do?
Well, I've been riding horses more, which is fun.
So tell us about riding horses.
You know,
how did this ever get started?
My passion. Yes.
Well, we weren't necessarily saying that riding horses is your passion.
No.
We were saying that. Think about, you were asking, what is your passion? And we were saying, well, let's go back to the beginning and think about what you like to do when you were a child. And one of the things that you like to do was ride horses. And we said, why not try that again?
Right.
And see where that leads. Right? Because do you right now see yourself spending 60 hours a week with horses?
No.
So maybe the environment of the horses will lead to the next thing that's exciting or interesting.
Yes,
and that's how it works.
I think just the act of doing it. I had a trail ride scheduled for Sunday morning, and I laid in bed and tried to talk myself out of going on this damn trail ride. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't figure out, why am I trying to talk myself out? And it was just a bunch of little tiny stupid fears. And the fact that I pushed through it was just really big for me. Big. Seems
right.
Silly, but it was really big.
So you have this thing that you wanted to do. You had it arranged that you were going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then before you're doing it, these little fears come up. Give us an example of a couple little fears that came up.
Oh, my husband's home today. I'd much rather just stay laying in bed. It's going to be hot. It's stupid stuff.
Well, it's not stupid.
Yeah.
Those are fears that you have. And this is what the process is. The process is identifying the fears and then realizing that those fears are quite literally meaningless,
mm-hmm.
that they are irrational, and that they're, by definition, fear. But really, what are they? What do they do? They're not even roadblocks. They're just thoughts that get in the way of you doing what you want to do. So when you push through and did you go on the horses?
I did.
And while you were on the horses, was the fear still with you?
Nope. It was gone.
It was gone. The moment you decided to take the action that you were inspired to take and actually do it, the fears go away. And then how did you feel?
I felt really good. I had a really nice conversation with a woman as we were riding. And it just, afterwards, it kind of dawned on me that this is good practice. I need to practice this, because then when the things that I really truly want to do that are so buried come up, I won't immediately dismiss them with these little insignificant fears.
Right. And those things that you really do want to do will come up. But if you don't have the wherewithal to push through little fears, to identify that they are little fears, then you won't even recognize the opportunity, because you will dismiss it so quickly.
Right. And I've been getting a sense of that, and more of a sense of the whole process of not doing and trying to just be and allowing myself to be lazy and not feeling like with my kids that, you know, lots is going on with them and I'm putting it at an arm's length and realizing they're on their paths and I'm on my path, my husband's on his path. And when we come together, I want to be joyous about that. And then when we're apart, I want to be okay with that, because that's where I've lost my confidence, was through all of that, worrying about things I couldn't control.
Right. Not only worrying about things you can't control, but worrying about things that really aren't any of your business.
Right, right.
You believe that, you think of your kids, for instance, mm-hmm. and then a fearful thought comes into your mind, and then you call them with the fearful thought, and then you try to make them somehow be safer for the sole purpose of you not having to worry.
Right.
You feeling better, right?
Right.
And so when you
right.
realize that that's all you're doing is trying to make yourself feel better, you can do that without calling them.
Right.
And without instilling your fear on them or influencing them towards a limiting belief that you might have.
Right.
So you can release the belief and then not entangle them with the belief as well.
Right.
Excellent.
And realize that I am still a very good person if I'm not worrying about my kids.
Well, we would say that you are certainly of more benefit to them by not worrying about them. Because worrying about them is a lower emotional state of being. And from that lower emotional state of being, you are of no help to them or anyone.
Right.
So you could only be of service to them in a high emotional state of being, free of fear. And if you can do that, then the inspiration that will come to you in the words that you will say, or the ideas that you'll share, or the conversations you will have, will be on a higher level that will be of benefit. So not only are you not only are you being a good mother by not engaging them and not worrying about them and not having this fear, but you're moving in a direction of love and away from fear. And from that stance, you can be of much greater benefit to them. But of course, they are on their own path. When they ask, you will help. But unless they ask, there's no need to interfere.
Right. Right. Big step for me. Big step.
Big step for everyone. But could you imagine how the world would operate without that? All the animosity towards parents and fear of children and all the transference of limiting beliefs that go on. Mm-hmm. If you could be understanding that from your worrying, you dip into this low emotional state of being and can't help them. All you can do is influence them in a way that you wish they would not be influenced, because it would be in a, you know, we won't say negative, but certainly in a not as empowering state of being.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, excellent. We say fantastic. We say
Thank
fantastic,
you.
Yeah. So, being lazy, not worrying, doing what you want to do, that is counter to the old approach to life.
Oh, yeah.
But it is perfectly aligned with the new approach to life.
Right.
And you will start to see that this is the effective way to be, the efficient way to be, the way that you thought you would be when you came into this incarnation as Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a little momentum to work through that's lasted these many years, and you're turning the ship, and the seas are going to start to get a little smoother.
Good.
Looking forward
to smooth seas.
So what's the next challenge then? What's the next thing that you're going to do? How about open mic night at the comedy club?
Oh, goodness.
Well, we won't go that far, but,
yeah.
But think about the next thing. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It could be anything.
Okay.
Yeah. So pay attention to the thoughts that you receive, the inspiration that you receive. Inspiration is simply a thought that sounds like a good idea until you kill it with fear.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
So we will be interesting to see what the next thing is. What was the other thing you liked to do as a child?
I liked to, as I got a little older anyways, I liked to rearrange my bedroom. And I did do interior design for many years, and I did really enjoy it. And I'd like to figure out how to get back into that.
If a friend calls you over and asks you to help them rearrange their living room, would that be a fun thing to do?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So anything you would do for a friend that would be fun, if you could figure out a way to do it for other people for fun. And then if it turns into something that's fun, that is a avenue of abundance to flow through, then that is a excellent idea for a passion.
Okay. Yeah.
So explore that. So how would you explore that?
That's the million-dollar question. I haven't had an open channel on that yet.
Do you buy interior design magazines?
I do, and I love to go accessory shopping, and I do that a lot just to get out and see what's out there.
Do you have any favorite stores you like to go to?
I do.
Do they ever need anyone to help them?
You know, I don't know. I thought about that, possibly, especially with Christmas coming up. But again, I don't want to be constrained. I'm just getting out of my constraints.
Why not? Why wouldn't you want to do that? Is there a little fear?
Yeah.
Or that you might be missing out on something else?
Yeah.
As long as you're not doing it on Saturdays or Mondays, we
right.
see no problem with it.
That's right.
Because okay. we need you Saturdays and Mondays.
Gotcha.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Good. What else is going on with you people?
I lost my job, or I'm
Yay!
Going to. I'm going
Yay.
To lose it.
About time. Tom actually told me that yesterday, and my response was, it's about time.
Did you misplace it?
No, I did not, but they're not going to renew my contract for next year. So I've been expecting this for some time, but my fear is...
Your irrational fear is...
I do not want to get another job.
So your fear is you'll have to get another job?
No, my fear is that I've already been offered...
If you don't want another job and you have a concern, which is a fear,
yes.
then what's the fear?
The fear is that I'm going to be living in a van down by the river... And that Josh was going to go, see, isn't that fantastic? You don't have that big mortgage every month to pay.
So you have a certain level of abundance that flows to you.
Yes.
And you have several ways that abundance can flow to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you believe that this one way, the most consistent way, which is now gone, means that abundance is all of a sudden going to shut off. So imagine if you had a big pipe and there was water flowing through this pipe. And on that pipe, you had 5 spigots and you opened them all the way, right? And so now water is flowing out of all the spigots. So let's say you turned off one of the spigots. Well, what happens? The water just flows out of the other spigots. It doesn't matter. It's all going to the same place and coming from the same place. But who cares about the spigot?
Right. I don't care. I would prefer other spigots, but I'm just saying.
So you get other spigots. You can get more water out of the spigots that you have. It doesn't matter. So that's how to look at abundance. Abundance isn't going to come from that job. It's going to come from wherever. And certainly the job, we will say, is extremely limiting anyway.
Yes.
So you had one spigot that was halfway closed anyway. So now you just close the whole spigot off and maybe you're going to add on some more spigots or open the other ones wider or whatever. But that's just really not even up to you. What's up to you in this? What's the only thing you can control?
Well, I had, I guess, my actions.
Well, the only thing you control is how you feel
and
your thoughts and your perspective.
Okay.
Right? So you can't control your previous employer. You can't control... where the money's coming from. You can, work around like a squirrel, gathering nuts and doing things, busy work, to make it look like you're trying to bring in money here and there. But really, all that's out of your control. Your only thing you have to do is maintain how you feel. Think about feeling good. Care about feeling good in the process of this, which we know you are excellent at, and then pay attention to inspired thoughts that come to you.
Well, that's okay. So 3 things happened. I was actually asked if I could leave this job early to start another one.
Oh.
So jumping out of one frying pan into another is the way I looked at it. And I was absolutely not inspired to do that But I thought maybe this is the universe giving me a bridge, you know, kind of a bridge to, because it's like only a 4-month contract. So I thought maybe this would give me time to adjust my vibration or whatever I have to do to get used to. But when I think about not having to go to work in the morning, I just get the biggest grin on my face and it just feels wonderful, right? Mm-hmm. So...
And how will that grin feel in 2 years after not having gone to work anywhere?
Well, see, then the fears pop up. Do I still have a house after two years of feeling
so? Imagine this. Imagine that you receive this invitation out of the blue. So, do we believe that there's a blue to come out of?
Yes.
That it's random, or that happen for a reason?
For a reason.
So this happened for a reason. So is the reason for you to just deny it and say that I don't want it, that this is wrong, that this is not a good idea? Or is the reason for you to explore it?
Well, if that was my question, because I know I wasn't inspired to do it. I could feel, I can tell the difference.
When we say inspired, it means the next logical step. The thought that makes sense. Now, sometimes you're inspired to run for president. And that seems like an exciting and fun thing to do. But generally, inspiration is more like, yeah, that's a good idea. Or that makes sense. Or, yeah, that's interesting. I wonder what that's like. That's what inspiration is. As long as you're in a positive emotional state of being and you receive a thought, then you can look at that thought. You receive a thought to call a friend. That thought was given to you because now is the perfect time to call a friend. Not 5 minutes from now or next or tomorrow, but right now, in this moment. You see, the universe works in the moment. It's only human that works in the past or the future. So if you receive a thought in the moment, if you receive an invitation in that moment, then you can follow it in the moment, and it's part of how the universe is setting everything up. Now, are we saying that this job will be the best job you've ever had in your life that will lead to everything else? No. What we're saying is this is the next step. Not to take the job, but just to explore it.
Oh.
And go a little deeper, because in discounting it before you even dig into it, you are simply saying that it is wrong. And we know that there is no wrong anywhere in the universe. And this thing popping up right when it happens to happen seems like a coincidence, is worth investigating. But it's only the fear, like the fear of not riding the horses. It's the same sort of little fears. What if it leads to a job and I'm stuck with this job for 4 months? I don't really want that. What if it's boring? What if it's more boring than last job? What if they expect me to be there? What if they don't, if they think it's weird that I'm not working at 11 o'clock in the morning on Mondays?
Yeah.
And it's, right? So that's what the digging is all about. Dig into it, because it might not be this job. It might not be the job you think, and it might be totally different than you think. But you don't know unless you dig into it. But your little fears are preventing you from finding your passion in life because you think you know how the road's going to unfold.
So that's kind of different. I mean, I'm having lunch tomorrow with her, and I was going to say no because I thought I obviously am not inspired to do this. But now that you've redefined it around, well, okay, I could see it be the next. It did come up. That's kind of what I was doing. I was going, is this a sign from the universe I should explore this? Okay, so yes.
Everything is a sign from the universe.
Everything. Wow. Okay, so I did get a couple of inspirations that really just, I got goosebumps when I thought about them. So I was thinking I would have more time to explore those goosebump things, which I thought, okay, this is definitely something to pursue because I got goosebumps. But if I take this other job, it's going to be,
fear.
You know.
That's fair. That's
I'm not going to have as much. Okay.
Irrational. So tell us about the goosebump things.
Well, just real quick,
don't have to be quick.
Well, when I was a kid growing up, I was in high school when personal computers came out, and they were pretty much delivered to you with nothing on them but a programming language. I mean, you couldn't do a whole lot with them. So that was perfect for me because I got to learn about programming on my own. You know, I went to the library, I checked out books, I developed my passion through that. And today I don't see, computers are so polished that when they come delivered to you, I don't even think there's a programming language on the box. So kids these days don't get that. So
kids these days are at a disadvantage because everything's done for them.
Well, that's kind of framed in a negative way. What I was thinking was that I would like to be able to give that same sense of wonderment and power, empowerment, because when you can make a machine do something that you told it to do, and it is so incredibly powerful, and you can feel, you can comprehend at some level that power, that's what got me off.
Why is teaching this to kids a goosebump feeling? What is it about that? What do you think that feeling is?
It's my personal goosebump feeling for me, and if I could give that feeling to somebody else, that would be make me
so your
feel
goosebumps
good.
Came from learning,
right?
But not from teaching. And what you want to do now is teach or provide some sort of way for them to get the same feeling you got. However, you were thinking that by offering this feeling that I have, that's unique to me, to other people, that there must be other people out there who would enjoy this feeling as well, and they would be attracted to whatever I have to offer.
Yes.
However, what you are talking about is doing something that is completely different from that feeling that you had. Setting up a business, opening a bank account, setting up budgets, forming a corporation, contracting with technical people to build some idea, figuring out what the idea is, marketing this idea, writing articles about the idea, going on interviews about the idea, presenting the idea to other people. That's all the stuff that you hate doing.
Yeah.
Which you would be doing in this idea that you have.
Okay, so what was the goosebump about?
The goosebump was that you love programming computers.
Well.
As a child.
Yes.
Now, do you love programming computers now to make things do things you want to do?
For me, I do.
Okay. So if someone came to you and said, we want to program this computer to make a software program or to make a website that does this, can you do that for us?
Yeah,
That
would not be thrilling. No, I want to do. I like to make the computer do what I want it to do.
Okay. So what do you want the computer to do?
Well, it depends in the moment.
What do you want it to do right now?
Right now? I can't think of anything right now.
So you might want to think about this a little bit further. In the meantime, because you don't even know what your desire is, you are just trying to figure out a path to it.
I know what I want it to do.
What do you want it to do?
I want it to alert me whenever the Bitcoin price changes by 5% up or down.
Okay, so you can do that. And then when you are building that program and you're typing in the O's and the I's and the X's and however that works, the dots and the dashes.
Yes.
And the ifs and or buts, is that thrilling to you? Do you feel, does time lose meaning to you when you do that?
It actually does. I like the elegance. I like the making it efficient and speedy and the constructs. I know it probably sounds weird, but I think it would be more fun to do that than just have somebody else program it for me.
Okay, so the elegance of code.
Right.
And that's a wonderful thing.
Something about me being able to get this thing to do something for me is what I like.
So do that. How long is that going to take?
Well, right now that would take a while because it's – I see what you're saying now. See, when I spend 8 hours in front of my computer, the last thing I really want to do is go home and sit in front of my computer, right? But if I didn't have a job, then I would embrace sitting in front of my computer.
Ah.
See?
So what you're saying is if you were a chef and you were passionate about cooking, the last thing you'd want to do is come home and cook dinner for your family.
After cooking all day long.
Or would it be the most exciting thing you could do?
Hmm. Maybe I need to look at this a little bit more.
If it's a passion, that's like saying, I am going to teach race car driving all day, but the last thing I want to do is drive my car home, so I'm going to take a bus.
So if it was a true passion, I would be thrilled to do it 24/7, just whenever I had an opportunity.
How many race car drivers show up to the track in a limo and then leave in a limo?
Probably, I don't know. I don't watch race car racing.
Probably none, if that was their passion. Those who are passionate about race car driving are also passionate about driving. Those who are passionate about cooking are passionate about cooking. Those who are passionate about coding are passionate about coding. Do you ever see the shows about the coders who work 18-hour days and are eating at their desk?
I used to do that when I was younger.
Yeah. And now you're not young. Now you want something else. Hmm. You want more. See, because you have a diverse life now, and your life is limitless, and you're open to all kinds of possibilities. The only problem is you're trying to figure out how it's all going to work out, and you can't do it, especially at this age, because you have so many other things you enjoy doing. If you were 21, then you could focus on this for 18 hours a day, and it would be exciting and exhilarating and passionate.
I think I'm trying to recapture that feeling.
Yeah.
Possibly. But there's more feelings out here. From this perspective, knowing what you know now, at this age, and with all the preferences you've defined over the years, you can have it all. You can have that feeling some of the time. You can have the feeling of being a father and a husband and a motorcycle rider and a car driver and a business person and all these feelings together. It doesn't have to be one or the other. You can mix them all in. You can enjoy them all. But when you start figuring out how to do it, that's when it trips you up because your perspective is limited. So why not let the universe do it? And how does the universe do it?
It's magic.
Well, how did the universe do it in your case just now?
It just happens.
Someone presented you with an opportunity and you said, bullshit.
Well, I said I'll look into it to her.
To us, to your mind, you said, fear, 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 fear. This isn't what I want. I'm not inspired. This is a bad idea. But how could it be a bad idea? It came at the most elegant time possible.
And what if you could get that fun feeling, that excited feeling? Like, I mean, you've got the green light. We've got the green light.
Do
whatever we want with this.
What?
Does Steve have the excited feeling now in this conversation with us? By being here with this group of people talking about this interesting subject? You said you were excited when you first got on this call. This is something you're excited about, right?
Yes.
So this is how you know. This feeling of looking forward to something is how you know. Now, if you think that something's going to come and it's not giving you this feeling, you don't have to discount it right away. You get to dig a little deeper. Because it's not always going to come where it's going to be a super exciting feeling, and you're going to know that that's it. Sometimes that happens, but a lot of times you're going to be presented with a little idea, and you're going to have to prove yourself by working through your little fears to move forward and dig a little deeper and just see what happens.
Okay. I had assumed that this was my vibration.
It is your vibration. Your vibration brought that opportunity to you.
Well, but I saw it as just more of the same. This is what I've been doing for the last 20 years, so why my vibration isn't changed? It's going to be more of the same.
How could it be more of the same? You're moving out of what you had before into something different. It may appear similar on the cover, but you have to open the book to look at the writing inside the book.
Okay, I'm shifting. I'm going to explore it fully now. I feel like this is the Yes Men movie where you just say yes to everything that comes your way.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And would you be interested in looking at this possible job that we have? Yes. Can we tell you more about it? Yes. This is what we want to do. Is this interesting to you? Yes. Is there anything else that you want in this job? Yes. What are those things? I want this and this and this and this and this. And they will say, Well, you said yes to everything we said, so it's perfectly logical that we're going to say yes to everything you want as well. Since this has all been set up by the universe anyway, so you are a winner no matter what happens. You cannot lose. Mm-hmm. Now, think a little deeper. What if you go to an interview, you talk more about the position gives you everything you want, then you go home at night and you start to think, okay, well, this seems like it's working out. I'm looking forward to this. This is interesting. Okay, I think I'm going to do it. And then you get there and they say, I'm sorry, we hired someone else. How are you going to feel then?
Oh, that's perfect.
Good. That's how you should feel, because it is.
Yeah.
Right? The feeling of thinking in your mind, making this path in your mind, going down that road, and then having the path turn in front of you, and you saying that should not have happened, is choosing the limited perspective. Because if it doesn't turn out, then what the benefit of this whole thing was for you to realize that opportunities like this come, and if they are a vibrational match to you and to what you want and to who you really are, then it will be fulfilled through it. And if not, there will be a learning experience in there somewhere, a belief-shaping experience for you, an expansive experience. And so it is all good. So the perspective you would take would be, I think I'm going to enjoy this job. I've talked about it, and we've come to an agreement of what I want out of the job and what they want me to do. And it seems like for the next 4 months, we will say, this is a perfect situation. And I'm going to go in there with the idea that this is all meant to be, and whatever happens, happens. And even if it doesn't work out, this is still a educational experience, a learning experience, and I'm expanded from this experience. And I'm going into it with a state of curiosity, wondering what's going to happen next. Where is this going to lead? Who am I going to meet? What will I learn here? What do I need to know in this event that's happening? What can I gain out of this? It's going to be very interesting to me. And that's how you pre-pave your intentions, so that no matter what happens, it is ultimately a learning experience, and all learning experiences are good.
So I'm fine with things happening to me at this point. Anything that happens
happens for
yeah. I see it as like it's for me, and I look forward to whatever. Right? That's done. What baffles me still is deciding what, like when a fork comes into the road, like this job, or like last weekend I was invited to go to Vegas for the weekend for a friend's birthday party, and you have two options. I had lots of fun stuff going on at home, but the Vegas sounded like it might be interesting too. How do you know which path to take?
Both. You are being dualistic. We are teaching you that duality is an illusion.
Right.
You believe that one decision's right and another decision's wrong. One decision's good and another decision's bad. One decision is good and another one's better.
Right. Mm.
That is an illusion.
So what's...
Both decisions are good.
Equally good.
Equally good. So if you were going to choose one, how would you choose one?
The one that sounds more fun.
The one that's funner. The one that's more exciting. The highest excitement. Follow your highest excitement. If one seems more exciting than the other, then that one is a good decision. If you go with the other one, that one's a good decision too.
Okay, so
they both work out. There are a million paths that all lead to the same place.
Okay.
All roads lead to Rome. And when we say Rome, it is your fruition, your evolvement. They all lead to the same place.
Okay, so it sounds like if there's a fork in the road, doesn't matter which one you pick,
just
take it. But if there's no fork, if there's only one option, if I'm going along and somebody invites me to do something, I should just pretty much always take it?
If it's exciting. Now, realize that you're going to have fear. Just like when you did before doing something fun, you're going to have fear before anything you do, no matter if it's fun or work or whatever. So push through that rational fear. Say, am I going to die
right
if I take this decision?
So
and then And then if you are going to die, then get a device and do it anyway.
So pretty much, there's. When would you not take an offer? If an offer comes out of the blue, and when would you not take it?
Mm. If the person giving the offer has horns and a triad. We're just kidding.
That's a good
You can take
question.
That offer too. Well, if an offer comes, you are a vibrational match to that offer. Now, you could do what you did in the old approach to life. You take a piece of paper, you draw a line down the middle, and on one side you write the pros, and the other side you write the cons, and then you list all the pros and all the cons, and whichever list is longer, that's the one you do. Right? So if the pro list is longer, then you do it, and the con list is longer, then you don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
That approach to life is saying pros and fears that I cannot get over. Now, if you can't get over your fears, well, then you are where you are. But if you look at those fears and you say, this fear is irrational. Here's how I know it's irrational. Here's the proof that it's irrational. Here is why it isn't real. And then I'm just going to cross that off my list. I'm no longer fearful of this. Now you just became in more of a vibrational alignment with what you want. The next thing, you go to the same thing, that next con, it's another fear. Why is it a fear? Why is it irrational? Why does it make no sense? What's the evidence that proves it's false? Where did I get this fear? Was it from personal experience, or did someone else tell me that you should be worried about that? Right? And so you can deal with that way. Now, if you just go into it with a state of curiosity, this is an experiment, I'm going to see what I can learn here, then all those fears disappear because you're not attached to any outcome. And when you're not attached to an outcome, then you can't lose, right?
Right.
How could you lose if you're not attached to an outcome?
So it sounds like just take everything that comes your way.
Hmm. There's a chapter in our first book, and it's about the flow of life. And if you are an allower, you are going with the flow of life. So if things are coming to you, you recognize those things are within this flow, and I'm in the flow. And so I can explore those things. I don't have to jump on, but I can take another look. I can not worry or not be affected by my little fears. I can see where it goes, spend a little more time in it, dig a little deeper, be interested, investigate. And I don't have to discount it right away. I can go in with the open set of beliefs and allow my beliefs to be shifted. And if it turns out that it's a bad thing, right? Well, why was it a bad thing? It was a bad thing because I chose to perceive it as a bad thing because my perspective is limited. I'm not looking at it from a higher perspective. If I set my intention ahead of time, releasing my attachment to an outcome and just adopting a stance of curiosity, then it's very hard for it to be a bad thing. Because I've pre-paved my path through intention. And I've allowed myself to be open so that if it rubs off against any fear, I can realize that it's a fear and that the fear is not real because I have faith that the universe is setting all this up for me. And that the universe is not setting me up into anything that's going to be detrimental, ever. Because everything that happens is for you. Now, it may not be to bring you $1 million. It may be to open up your eyes or to alter a belief, or to allow you to have a different perspective on something you need to have a different perspective on. For instance, what does this business that this company does?
They help companies with, they call it the first mile, which is their first engagement with a customer. So like if you're a bank and they have to fill out a loan, they make the seamless, they make the process seamless on the internet for the customer.
So if you have a business in the future, wouldn't this be an amazing thing to learn how to do?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be incredible if you got this inside information that you were part of the team that worked on this? That you were the one that knew how to do this better than anybody. And so when you have your business going one day, that the one thing you have covered is this way to allow people to come to a website and then not to be, you know, discouraged by it, but to allow them to enroll easier and to capture those people before. Seems like this is something you need to learn.
Okay.
Who knows? We don't know.
I will explore it.
Astrid, we're on the same topic. Do you want to talk to us about your trip to Miami?
I was on a trip to Copenhagen this weekend with three of my friends.
Yay.
And I discovered that I think I would like to go by myself somewhere because then I would be more free.
Right.
So, yeah.
Very good. So the trip with the group caused you to birth a desire to be able to do your own thing.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So you're still filling out the blanks there by saying that you want to go by yourself because you could do your own thing with another person. But it seems like, from your perspective, that it would be easier to go on your own and do your own thing and not have to worry about what anyone else wants to do.
Yes, and I've also noticed that it's still difficult for me to sort of be the new me when I'm around people who have known me for a while. Like my close friends and my family, I tend to fall back into my old pattern of thinking and being, mm-hmm. and I don't like the old me.
Because do you feel silly being the new you?
I feel like I don't know how to do it because I expect that I won't fit in.
Well, if you were to love and accept people for who they are, do you think that they would appreciate that or be bothered by that?
I don't know, but I don't accept people as they are, so.
Well, the new you will. The new you does.
Yeah.
The new you is a limitless being of pure pods of love and acceptance. And the old you is a limited being of some love, not acceptance, a little bit here and there. So as you're moving from the, and a lot of fear, as you're moving from the old you to the new you, you're losing that fear, especially the fear of what other people think, and you are learning how to love. And when we say love, it simply means accept. If someone is annoying, you accept them as that's the unique person that they're being, and they're only annoying because you have a little fear, and that behavior that they have matches up with that little fear, and you find that dynamic annoying. However, once you accept them, that they're just being who they are being because they're showing up for you based on your vibration and their vibration, and this is a co-creative thing that's going on here, then you can allow them to be whoever they are. So that is loving. That's love. If you can accept people for who they are, that's love. Kyla, do you love your ex-husband?
The majority of the time now, I do, I think.
And how about a year ago, 6 months ago?
No.
Right, so that's all you're doing is coming from this state where you were more in fear of him and what possibly he could mess up mm-hmm. for you. And now you are more accepting of him. And that you're allowing him to be the unique person that he is. You may not prefer him, but you're certainly allowing him to be. You're not asking him to change.
Right.
So when you're not asking someone to change who they are, you are loving them and accepting them. And that's all that is. So when you love and accept your mother for who she is and how she is worried about you and how she has, you know, lived in this society and living a certain approach to life her whole entire life and is concerned for you because that's fear and she doesn't want to feel bad, you can accept that. Well, that's what mothers do. That's what my mother does. If she didn't care about me at all, then it would be a different thing. But she has this fear and this fear provokes this negative emotion in her. So you can accept that. Your friends want to do something different. You can accept that. You want to do something on your own. You can accept yourself for wanting to do something on your own. So this idea of accepting others really is an idea of accepting yourself. This idea of allowing them to be who they are is a fearless way of looking at them. And the allowing yourself to be as unique and unusual as you think you are, right? But still understand that you are worthy and special and that you can accept yourself for any little issue that happens along the way, from coming from where you are now to this pure positive being of love and acceptance, right? So as you transition from who you are now to that being, you can accept yourself if you get annoyed, if you are bothered by something. That's all part of this growth. So accept yourself. Once you accept yourself, it's so much easier to accept others, and you'll find that.
But if I prefer to be alone, doesn't that mean...
Why do you prefer to be alone? Because it's easier to feel good.
Yes, so that means I'm not accepting someone, right?
That means you are realizing that feeling good is the most important thing, and that you are not on solid footing right now around certain people. And that's perfectly all right. And that as you get better about feeling good about around other people, you can practice and practice and practice and then withdraw, and then go out and practice and practice and practice and then withdraw. But once you realize that this negative emotion that you feel is simply fear manifesting itself, and you're taking a perspective that causes you to feel fear, then you can start choosing your perspective ahead of time, setting your intentions ahead of time, and not being attached to any specific outcome. It's the same thing no matter what we're talking about. Everything is perspective. Everything is getting over irrational fear. Everything is a work in progress.
So if I accept everyone, then I don't prefer someone over someone else?
No, you certainly have preferences.
Okay.
But you don't think that something is wrong or something is bad. You say, I prefer this, not this. I prefer chocolate ice cream, but I don't want to wipe out vanilla ice cream. I just prefer chocolate ice cream more, right? That's all that is. I'm sure there's other people in the world that like vanilla ice cream. It's just not for me. I like chocolate. There's some people who like to be negative. It's just not for me. I like to be positive. I'm not going to call them wrong or ask them to change. That's just who they are. They are on their path and they're exploring negativity, and that's what they came here to do. And who am I to tell them to do otherwise? And the only reason I would tell them to be positive, is because I can feel better. It's easier for me to feel better when they are more positive, right? And when they're negative, I notice that, and I don't feel good because that's something I prefer. I think it's wrong. I'm going to stop thinking it's wrong. I'm going to think it's okay for them to be negative.
But when
go ahead.
When I choose not to be around people that I perceive as being negative, doesn't that mean that I'm not accepting them?
That's right. You're not accepting them, and that's okay. But if you can learn to accept yourself when you're negative, it'll be easier to accept them when they're negative. If you can learn to accept yourself, it's easier to accept them. If you can't be around them and feel good, then don't be around them. But we're going past that. We're going a little bit further. Try and be around them for 5 minutes and then excuse yourself. Try and be around them for an hour and excuse yourself. Try and be around them and notice how most of the time they're fine, and then sometimes they're not. But can you maintain how you feel, your good feelings, even when they are behaving in a way that is counter to how you know life should go, how you think life should be? Because if you can allow them to be who they are, then you can allow you to be who you are.
Okay.
And if they don't feel good, well then, practice feeling better, practice looking at positive aspects, or get back to being alone and feeling good. Because feeling good is the most important thing, but don't ask them to change. Even in your mind when they're not with you, you can accept them that they are on their path, and their path is a different one than yours. But all people are good, and all people are moving from fear to love, and everyone is evolving, and everyone is expanding, and everyone is one. You're all the same. You're all with each other. We're all in this together. How about that?
I don't mean to hijack this, but I have a quick question. So suppose somebody is experiencing pain in their back. They're negative, and they've had 14 operations to fix this. They're you're just supposed to accept. I mean,
have they come to you for help?
No, they haven't.
Have they specifically come to you and said, what can you do to help me?
They haven't.
Then you can observe how someone is resisting in life.
But why haven't they? It just seems, I guess it goes down. It doesn't seem fair, or it doesn't seem that they don't know about this. Nobody really knows about it. And until somebody tells them that, and if you tell them that you create their own reality, doesn't that seem kind of cruel that they've experienced this for so many years?
It's like explaining algebra to a kindergartner. They're just not ready for it, and they have no use for it.
Yes, but
they're not even there yet.
But they're suffering.
One day they'll need the algebra, but not now.
Yes, but doesn't that seem wrong to have the kindergartner experiencing pain because he doesn't know about algebra?
The kindergartner is in this case, is going through an experience that is incredibly expansive. There is no pain in the non-physical. There is no poverty in the non-physical. There is no fear in the non-physical. These are things you cannot explore in the non-physical. You can only explore them in the physical. If you didn't understand what despair felt like, then you couldn't understand what pure, positive love and acceptance feels like. The other side of that spectrum. You couldn't know how nice it feels to feel good. And you go back to explore these. If you didn't explore poverty, and you can explore poverty and pain and everything else in its greatest detail than ever before in this time in history than in any other past time in history. For instance, if you came to explore poverty in 1500, well, everyone's poor. If you come to explore poverty in 2016, when almost everyone's rich, then it seems way worse, doesn't it? It's a way more intense feeling. And that's what you come for, is the intensity of these feelings. And then from that intensity to be able to shift and change how you see your reality.
Okay, so ultimately, I would not want to go communicate this to this person that, oh, you've chosen to experience pain for the last 20 years because this is very valuable at some point in the future. They would just look at me like, oh, great. Thanks.
If they came to ask you, why am I enduring this? Then you could talk to them. Then the channel would be somewhat open. If they had the inspiration to talk to you about it, that means that they are vibrationally in a vicinity of this information.
Well, what brought this up was a friend of mine kind of relayed that information. And then he was telling me he was kind of lamenting the fact afterwards because he felt like it was just kind of cruel, or, you know, and I kind of agreed. It does seem kind of cruel.
So if he comes to you, is it he?
He, yeah.
If he comes to you and asks you for some sort of relief or help, and you're inspired to offer it from a good feeling place and not a bad feeling place, like if you offered it, you would be looking at him from a lower perspective, right? You would look at it, looking at him suffering, and you would want to ease his suffering. And why would you want to ease his suffering?
So that I would feel better.
Right. And then, so you were coming at it from a low emotional state of being, and the urge that you would get would be to give him a book or tell him something, right? Or have him watch a video. Hmm. However, if he comes to you and he says, you are an inspiration to me, I see how easily you flow through life, and I realize that I've been resisting, and I've been doing this the hard way. Do you have anything you can share with me? And then in that moment, you feel this burst of excitement to do something. You will also simultaneously feel fear that he will take it wrong, but you push through the fear, and you do what you're inspired to do, which is to share a book or tell them a story or have them watch a video or have them listen to a podcast, then you know that the universe is lining all this up. Isn't it an easy system?
I'm
all you sure. have to do is think about your perspective, your emotional state of being, and do you feel sorry for the guy, or are you inspired to uplift him?
I'm hung up on the fact that I think 20 years is excessive to experience pain, and that it should be 5 years or 4 years, and then this comes
to... Or for most people, 1 minute.
Yeah, I mean, right? It just...
1 minute of resistance, they shift their perspective, and it's gone.
Yeah.
This is someone who is stubborn in his perspective, and he is choosing to...
How can you say stubborn when they don't... Unless they have access to Joshua or Abraham, how do you find out about this stuff?
You don't. You know it naturally coming in. You were just influenced away from it. So when you were a child...
So you remember it at some level.
Or you are creating a desire to reach for it. But if you are saying that I'm a victim, this always happens to me, I don't have any control over my reality, and you're stuck in that mindset, well, that's the experience you chose to live during this incarnation. And when you transition, you'll say, oh, wow, what a difference in how I feel now and how I approached life before. And that was in a very expansive experience. Now, not everyone is meant to get to the level of Joshua or Abraham or Seth or any of these things. They are meant to find out and to sift and sort and explore in millions of other ways. You chose this way. Some people chose the other way. Some people choose to learn and study this information and then do nothing with it and get frustrated and fall back into victimhood. And then when they transition, they can see from this new perspective how they approach life, and from that point they can choose what they want to come and explore the next time around. So you can't tell what has led up to the life that your friend is living now. And you can't see the – all you see is the iceberg, and you can't see the depth below it. And you don't know how they're really feeling, and you don't know what they're getting from it either. There are things that you can't even imagine that they're getting from this. Things that they want and need. And if you could see from our perspective the entire iceberg below the surface, it would make sense to you. So don't worry about it. Just know that if you are meant to help, and we understand that you want to help, but if you are meant to help, somehow the universe will set it up if he is ready for it.
Okay.
There are people who have migraines. We know that migraines are resistance, but people get a lot of benefit out of having migraines. They don't have to go to work. They don't have to do the dishes. They can take a break. They can have an excuse for not doing what they think they should be doing. All kinds of benefits. It's an excuse for a lot of things, and without the migraines, their excuse is gone. And now they have to go and do things they don't want to do.
Okay.
Right? So, there. Think about it that way. It's just a higher perspective. Kate, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. This is fun. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Are you having a good time?
I am. My mum was here for a week and a half. Hi, mum. I'm saying that because she's now clued into the podcast. So I'm like, oh, my God. but
so
I love her, and it was
she
great.
She gets to listen to you have a lot of fun with your friends.
Yes, absolutely. So that was great. And I loved what you said about the columns of for and against. I think that's very helpful because that's something I still do as opposed to just approaching everything through curiosity. And I was thinking, because we were talking a lot about work, I was inspired or was thinking about the possibility of doing translation as my next job in finance. But there are a lot of fears around that. It was just an idea, but I was thinking, oh, I could finish the 12 books I'm reading all at the same time. And you know, there wouldn't be all these resistance things I have. And I know how to do it, and I'd still be in finance and et cetera. But it's an idea.
What is the exciting aspect of that idea?
Partly that I get to do it from home and organize my days somewhat more freely than sitting in an office surrounded by people. Partly that I get to stay in finance and I enjoy it, and I think it's less difficult to translate, but I still get to see what people are writing about, which is new.
So you could start, for instance, a blog, and you could take articles or books or ideas and even do reviews in translating from English to French or French to English, vice versa, and bring a whole another level of information to a certain population. Mm. Does that sound exciting?
It sounds like I'm one. I'm thinking, when would I fit that in? And I'm also thinking, where would I get the information from? Because it's because the information when I'm translating, the idea of working as a translator, it's like the information is new. It comes from the analysts, and I get to look at it and see it. But it's private. You know, people pay for this,
right?
So it's I can't just take it, translate it, and put it out to the world. I'd get fired for that.
You'd have to do it for the people who are actually producing it, so that they can put it out to their clients.
Yes.
Right. So, what's exciting about that?
Being part of the process and being included in it and still being up to date on what's going on and yet not having the whole having to call clients to sell it part.
Ah, so you want to get away from an aspect of your current job that you do not like. What you want to do is you want to change the conditions so that you're no longer doing the thing you don't want to do.
Yes.
And you're trying to figure it out on your own, to let it go on.
Okay. Of course.
So here what we say. Here's what we say. We say, make what you do fun first. Make what you do fun first, and from there, see what shows up. Don't try to figure it out. The universe knows what you really want. You have created this life based on what you really want. And the things that you are doing that you don't want to do, you think you should do. So we say, figure out how to make everything fun. This is your work for you to do. Now, let's say that you're going to call a client. Do you have to call clients at a certain time or a certain number, certain frequency every month or every week or something?
There's nothing obligatory, but yes, that is looked at.
Do you have to call them or can you email them?
Both. Either.
Either. Okay. Okay. When you call them, what do you have to say generally?
It's generally either an update on a company that we follow that I know the company is interested in, or possibly a sales pitch for a new company idea. It's ideas and feedback.
Okay. And so upon making this call, do you feel fear?
Depends the person I'm calling.
So some people you have no fear at all, and it's easy and fun to call those people.
Yes.
Okay. So let's take that, those people that are easy and fun to call and put them in one list, and we'll do that on Monday. Because Monday is going to be your fun day.
Yes.
Everything fun that you can do on Monday is going to be fun. You're going to set up the whole day so that you're only doing things that are fun. So that's a fun thing to do. You have no fear around that. Now, let's in your mind, take one person on that list of easy people to call, your favorite client, and then on another list, think of a person that there's more fear to call.
Yep.
Okay. Who's the person that's more fearful to call? What kind of person is that?
Somebody who's not particularly, somebody who's very in demand by competition, who mm-hmm. knows that, mm-hmm. and who is, who has all the information they really need and not very interested in what I have to bring to the table.
Okay.
It seems.
So how, so had they said any of those things to you? Have they said, I have all the information already. I know what I'm doing. I've got millions of people calling me. I have lots of money to spend. And what you have to say is not interesting. Have they ever said
no.
that in real life? Okay.
None of
so,
them.
So you made that all up?
Yes.
Okay.
Sounds like
so
it.
So why did you make it up?
I'm projecting my own fears.
Could you think the other thing is, could you approach it like – they don't have anyone looking out for them like I'm going to look out for them. They don't have anyone giving the information that I'm going to give them. Nobody knows more about this information than I'm going to give them, especially them. Right? They're going to be grateful for this. This is going to work out perfectly. They are in my vibrational reality. Somehow we are a match. Okay? I don't know how we're a match. I can't see how we're a match, but this name could not be – I could not have this number and this name if this was not a match to me. So maybe they're a match to me because they're going to experience something out of this relationship, and I don't know what that is. Maybe it's going to be good for them. Maybe it'll be bad for them. It's not up to me to tell. I am playing my part in this by calling them. And so all I'm going to do is release my fear, and what else am I going to release before I call them? You're going to release okay. your attachment to any outcome.
Thank you. Yes.
You do not care.
Yeah.
All you're going to do, they've shown up in my reality. They're here on this piece of paper. I'm going to call them. And I'm going to adopt the stance of curiosity. I'm going to present what I have to present. I'm going to believe that the universe is setting this up for some reason. I'm going to choose to believe that they respect me, that they're interested in what I have to say, even if they can't express that on the phone, that somehow this is being set up, and that because they're not a vibrational match to Joe Smo in Cleveland, they're a vibrational match to Kate in Paris, right? And so here they are. So something's going to happen. I don't care if they buy anything. I don't care if they're if they get emotional. I don't care if they get angry. I don't care if they hang up on me. It doesn't matter. I'm just doing this act as from a stance of curiosity to see what happens. And I'm releasing any attachment to any outcome, and I'm going to just see what happens. Now, if I can take on this idea that this is just an experiment, that this is just a research project, that this is science, then I'm going to look at everything from a scientific point of view. That, listen, if I just go in first, pre-paving through intention, I intend for the call to go well. I intend to speak clearly. I intend to be able to answer questions. And let's just see what happens, right? No big deal.
Yeah.
And I'm going to adopt this, you know, persona of this amazing financial wizard. And I am going to bring with me all my non-physical million. Somebody in that group has to know something about what I'm talking about. I'm going to allow this to flow through me. And I'm going to just say whatever comes to my mind. And I'm not going to judge it when it's coming out, because I know this is going to be brilliant. And I know that I'm going to be inspired to say the right thing at the right time to him. And we'll see what happens from there. Mm-hmm. But I know for a fact that if I go in this with a timid, worried, attached to some specific outcome, that it's going to come across as a less empowering way than it could. Mm. Right? Mm. And I no longer am going to be afraid of calling. In fact, I'm going to enjoy calling, because every call is going to be an experiment. And I'm going to think about my fears ahead of time. I'm going to push through those fears. I'm going to realize that the fears are rational, that who cares? It doesn't matter what they think of me. They don't even know me. I'm just a voice on the phone.
Yeah.
Right? And that maybe, just maybe, this person will turn into a relationship. And if that does, that's fantastic. And if it doesn't, that's fantastic too. I am not going to choose how this path unfolds to me. I am simply going to be limitless. I'm not going to pre-limit myself. I'm not going to limit anything by creating these letting these fears get a hold of me. I am going to be limitless and just let the universe do it all. So you start with Monday, calling people you like, and then Tuesday, you do one or two people, that's it for the whole day, and you just make an experiment, and you can write notes, and you can set it up, and you can write a list of affirmations ahead of time, and you can meditate ahead of time, and you can practice bringing in your million to help you with it, and just see how you feel, because the only thing that matters is how you feel. So how do you feel at the end of the call? That's all you have to worry about.
Yeah.
Are we speaking too quickly?
No, it's brilliant. Mm-hmm.
We are enthusiastic.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I'm loving it.
I'm going to transcribe this whole call, guys.
There's a lot of words. We use a lot of words.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yes. Wow.
So maybe you could translate this into French.
Absolutely.
There's a big group of French people that are dying to
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Joshua receives questions in French from people.
Well, I'd be happy to translate those.
Excellent. Mm. Good. Kyla.
Joshua.
How are you?
I'm doing well. It's been a, Mondays are my favorite day. I've got my Monday set up pretty nice.
Mondays are our favorite day, too.
Yeah. So I'm happy that it's Monday. I feel like I'm trying to figure out what I should be doing, and then at the same time relaxing into it and doing what sounds like fun.
Gotten any invitations?
I did. I got an email from Deborah Jo saying that she felt inspired to offer to converse with me about her joyful sex life.
Excellent. So,
yeah. Excellent. It was exciting. So I scheduled it. I mean, we scheduled it for this afternoon, and then I got an email from her today saying that she has dance lessons with Frank, which I think is awesome. So we're going to have to do it another time. I feel like that's a theme, though, where I'm like, oh, okay, yep, I'm going to do that, like you were saying earlier, and then it takes a right turn. And my bounce back time is quicker, but I still find myself judging it as wrong. Like, oh, but I thought I was going in that direction. You know, why am I not going on in that direction anymore? So I just kind of feel like I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing right now.
Okay, so imagine that you have a invitation and then you set it up, right? You do something to set it up. And so when you set up this thing, you go, well, how's Monday for you? And the person says, well, Monday's fine. So you are both trying to map it out ahead of time, right? Which is fine. That's fine. But then you get attached to the outcome. Oh, I thought it was going to be Monday, and now it's not going to be Monday anymore. And, oh, geez, maybe things aren't working out. Well, you did your best to map it out on your own, and now something happened where that wasn't the day, and all you have to do is map it out again. Map it out again. But do what feels interesting and inspiring to you, and don't worry about the time and the place and where it is and how it's set up, and, you know, get rid of your little fears, and that's just how it works. So the only disappointment is this perspective that it's not working out when it is working out.
Yeah. I think so the disappointment, like, I know that I'm going to get to talk to her and have this conversation. I think it's going to be really interesting and fun. But I think the disappointment comes from having like a concrete thing that would advance me along my path that I knew, like that I identified as something that I want, having that happen so that now that's not happening. I'm like, well, shit, what am I supposed to do today? Like, you know,
so when the water flows down the pipe and it gets to the spigot that's turned off, does the water say, damn, we wanted to go through the spigot, but, and do they just wait there by that spigot, or do they go out one of the other spigots that are open? So the water doesn't care, right? It's this idea of fluidity, of flowing with what happens, of flowing and flowing and flowing. So you believe that you're gently flowing down the stream without a paddle in a little boat, and you're being guided along, and then everything's going well, and then you bump up against the tiny rock, and then instead of just saying, oh, there's a little rock in the road, a little boulder right there in the middle, you get out of the boat and you start trying to dig up this rock. And you get all wet and the rock's huge and you're stuck there banging on this rock until it disappears. But if you just flow down, the rock would be out of your way. and you would just go with the flow of life. So this whole conversation today is about fluidity, just going with the flow of everything. Invitation comes, you accept it. You try and set up an appointment, it doesn't work out, you accept it. You accept, knowing that everything is going to work out.
So I feel like I'm almost past the point of trying to dig up the rock, and now I'm just laying in the boat, still floating, but I'm like, why was that rock there? You know, that stupid rock. If that rock wouldn't have been there, this would have been a perfect float, you know?
So how boring would this stream be if there were no rocks occasionally?
Yeah.
There'd be nothing to look at. There'd be nothing to be excited about. Right.
Right.
Who would go whitewater rafting without rocks? It would be boring.
Yeah.
The whole point of this is that the rock doesn't have to be a bad thing.
Right.
The missed appointment doesn't have to be a bad thing.
Sure.
So it's just a perspective.
And the reason
you know is you feel mild emotion. So your perspective is so close to the perspective of your inner self, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little off. And then you go, okay, well, why didn't that happen? Now, why didn't it happen? Because if that had happened at that right time, then Deborah Jo may have been in a rush, you know. She may have been thinking about other things. You may have been thinking about other things. You couldn't have been in this space where you can just freely talk and focus on what you want to talk about.
Yeah.
Instead, part of you is thinking about something else. And so the universe says, let's make it perfect. Let's make it on Tuesday or Wednesday when nothing's going on.
Right.
Yep. And so you can say, since I don't know what it is, I'm going to make up the fact that something else is happening. Gary makes up the thing all the time. He gets busted out of a poker tournament, and he says, wow, I wonder what's going to happen. And invariably, something happens that he is invited to dinner, or, you know, had he been playing poker, this would not have happened, and this would not have happened. And he goes at it from a place of curiosity, and still, he feels negative emotion. But like you said, your bounce back time is much quicker.
Right. So something interesting that's been happening, because, you know, I've been trying to explore my passion and overcome fears that are preventing me from doing that.
Is your passion?
Is my passion? Maybe. Is that why? Okay, but so that's what my question has to do with, is I was listening to the abundance meditation for a while, and then I started listening to the passion meditation. And it's probably been a month or so, and now anytime I try to listen to one of the other meditations, it just won't load. None of the other ones. I mean, relationships won't load, which I was like, things are progressing in an interesting way with my gentleman friend. So I was like, oh, I'll listen to the relationships meditation, but nope. And I've been having abundance fears. So I was like, oh, I'll listen to the abundance meditation, but nope. The only one that will play, and I'm sure if I like force it or I could get out my computer, but I see that it's a sign that I'm supposed to be listening to the passion meditation, but I'm also like avoiding everything that has to do with my passion pretty much, except for the actual like act of it. You know, I'm not avoiding that, but is that just research? I don't know. Maybe I am doing what I'm saying.
This is a beautiful thing when things seem like they're screwing up and you just go with it, then you are just going with this passion meditation. And so this passion meditation is slowly getting its idea into you.
Okay.
And you are slowly starting to come around. And the moment that you get it, then suddenly you'll be able to – the other meditations will work, or you'll be inspired to fix them, or you'll be inspired to dig deeper. But this is an excellent example of that. So we say, notice how the universe works perfectly every time, that there are no coincidences.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. Excellent.
I had the same thing, Kyla. That's why I asked you for the abundance one again. I couldn't listen to the abundance one.
Huh. Does that mean that we're not a match to abundance, or just that we need to be listening to one of the others? We would get more benefit from whatever we end up doing instead of listening to what?
You are can't help but be a match to abundance.
Okay, thanks.
That's who you are. You can't help but be a match to joy. You can't help but be a match to relationships. You can't help but be a match to your passion. all you're doing is resisting it, and the meditations help ease the resistance. And so maybe the more easing of resistance you need is in the specific meditation that you have available to you, and not the other ones right now. Yeah. So in these circumstances, the best way to frame anything is that you don't know what's going on. You can only assume that it's all happening for you. So let's figure out how it's happening for you. And from that perspective, everything magically falls in line. So we would like to end this fantastic, unbelievable, exciting, exhilarating conversation by saying that everything is working out for you, that there is no need to paddle upstream, there is no waterfall downstream. Just relax, float your boat, enjoy the scenery. If you bump up against a rock, then that's an exciting event, isn't it? And then let it go. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.